Grace and mercy to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are few things in this world more fierce, more determined, or more persistent than a parent desperate to help his or her child. That is what makes the story we just heard this morning so powerful and so poignant. Think for a moment about the plight of this father. He has watched his son suffer for years. He has brought him to religious authorities and miracle workers who knows how many times, only to leave every time disappointed. He has all but given up hope when he hears that some disciples of the wonder-working Jesus are in the vicinity and that they are curing people just like his son. And so he goes. No, he runs, his son in tow, beseeching them for help. And they agree, praying over his son. But to no avail. It doesn't work. Nothing has changed. Disappointment once again. Can you imagine his heartache? But just then, even as people have started getting on the disciples, asking what went wrong, and just as this dad is about to turn and head home brokenhearted once again, Jesus himself comes onto the scene. And when Jesus hears what is going on, he scolds the crowds for their lack of faith, which I find a little confusing because I'm not sure just what the faith of all those gathered around has to do with the failure of the disciples. We'll get back to that in a moment. Just now, let's get back to that father. After countless disappointments, and even though Jesus has just rebuked the crowd that included him, he musters his courage and asks Jesus if he can do something, anything, to help his son. And immediately, Jesus responds, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." And immediately, this desperate dad replies, "I believe." I mean, come on, Jesus, of course I believe. From childhood on, I was raised in the faith of my parents. All of my adult life, I've kept the law and observed the Sabbath. I can tell you are a man of authority. Of course I believe. And yet in the very same breath, "Help my unbelief, because it has been a long, long time since I've had hope. And I love my son, and I've watched him suffer for so long, and that has left me empty, unable to trust or hope or believe in anything. I believe. Help my unbelief." This may be just about the most honest prayer in all of Scripture. And if we are honest, we might be able to admit that it isn't just the prayer of this one father. It's a prayer probably each one of us has prayed at one time or another. Like when it's your child who's sick, or your spouse or sibling struggling with addiction, or that job you'd hoped for just didn't come through, or the relationship you've invested in doesn't improve, or a loved one dies unexpectedly, or any of a thousand other things that can cause you to wonder whether God cares or is even there. I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, when you stop to think about it, you soon realize that while remarkably honest, this is not an extraordinary prayer at all. Somewhere, someone is probably praying it just about every minute of the day. Someone right here may have prayed it already this morning. It is an ordinary prayer of desperation and vulnerability and helplessness, and it is also courageous and faithful and holy, just the kind of prayer God loves to listen to. You see, we tend to think of faith as an individual act, as something you or I must take responsibility for and just plain do, believe. But faith, at least biblical faith, is sometimes just plain hard, and for that reason is something that none of us can pull off by ourselves. And so this man, daunted by his son's seemingly incurable condition and crushed by a series of disappointments, cries out for help. And Jesus responds. Maybe that's why Jesus scolded the crowd. Remember that peculiar little detail? A man, this desperate father, tells Jesus that his disciples couldn't heal his son, and Jesus calls the crowd faithless. Odd. Unless maybe it was never just up to the disciples to heal this boy, never just up to this man to muster the faith to believe his son could be made well. Maybe faith is not an individual achievement, but instead is always a communal undertaking. And maybe Jesus thinks that they somehow forgot. They, the disciples, this man, the gathered crowd, forgot that faith is always shared. But then this man remembers, I believe, help my unbelief. This isn't something I can do alone. This is something I need help with. Johannes Rosenthal's was a New Testament professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul some years ago. He was originally from Latvia and was caught up in the horrors of World War II. Yet despite his experience in the war, which included occupation and months in refugee camps, his faith never wavered. Some years later, he came to St. Paul to teach at Luther, the seminary where I once taught and where many of our pastors were educated. Rosenthal's served there faithfully for decades. Late in his career, though, his wife died unexpectedly, and he was undone. In fact, he went to the president of the seminary to resign, saying that he had lost his faith. After listening to Rosenthal's story, the president said to him, quietly but firmly, Johannes, you keep on teaching. We will believe for you until you can believe again for yourself. And they did. And he did. This is what we do together at Mount Olivet. We don't just believe for ourselves, we believe for each other. When my faith is strong, I can believe for you. And when I struggle, I know and trust that you are believing for me. That's what it means to be the body of Christ, a body of people who believe but struggle to believe, who have faith but also plenty of doubts, who come here with personal and individual concerns and yet are bound to one another in faith, love, and care. We are at that time in the year when we focus our attention on stewardship, taking stock of the blessings God has bestowed upon us and sharing some of those blessings with others through our gifts to the church. And when I ask you to give, that is to take seriously your responsibility and opportunity to share some of what you have been blessed with, it's not so that we can take care of our buildings or pay the staff or offer Sunday school and Bible studies, provide musical directions for our choir or support camp in the retreat center, or, don't get me wrong, your gifts actually do all of that. And yet at the heart of that is that your gifts enable us to be a congregation that believes for each other, that supports each other, that celebrates together when things are going well, and that rallies together when things are hard. To be a people and congregation and community that holds on to each other through thick and thin, and in all these ways be the body of Christ. So just one more little note about this honest and poignant and ultimately encouraging story. Each night during chapel at Cathedral of the Pines, we sing a song that functions as the creed for our worship, singing our profession of faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite moments of the service. It draws to a close with the stirring lines, I believe, I believe, I believe, with many of the kids kind of rising up on their tippy toes every time we sing the word believe. But after that final I believe, it concludes, Lord, help thou my unbelief. I don't know how many of those singing it know the story we read very well, or even that it's that story that's the inspiration for this song, but I love that the song we sing in place of the creed reminds our campers that faith and doubt go hand in hand, and that we make our way through this life together, counting on God and each other to hold us in the faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You keep teaching. We'll believe for you until you can believe for yourself again. This is the life of faith we nurture at Mount Olivet. Honest, poignant, sometimes difficult, yet also courageous, faithful, and always worthwhile. Thank you for your part in supporting it. Amen.